when we came, we fell in love with the place, obviously. They told us, you don't own a chateau, you're a guardian. You're a guardian of the spirit of the chateau. Mm-hmm. And we promised that we will not make a difference, and we didn't want to make changes. We wanted to modernize it, but keep the character. Yeah. So anything that you see here, it's in line of our promise.
Willkommen zum Unternehmer-Podcast. Gastgeber dieses Formats ist Wolfgang Patz. Er hat es sich zur Aufgabe gemacht, andere Unternehmerinnen und Unternehmer zu interviewen. Wolfgang bringt in knackigen Folgen ihre größten Erfolgshebel, aber auch vermeidbare Fehler ans Tageslicht, damit ihr diese für euer Business nutzen könnt. Damit ihr keine Folge verpasst, solltet ihr den Unternehmer-Podcast in der App eurer Wahl abonnieren. Viel Spaß mit dieser Folge.
Welcome to Entrepreneur Podcast. This is the first time that I'm doing it in English, usually okay. In German, but all of the Berlins are quite
speak
good in
English, yes.
English. So guys, focus and listen to English and practice your English that you learned in school. Now we are in south of France in Chateau
Saint-Victor-Lacoste.
Saint-Victor-Lacoste in Costa's home. And Costa's very welcome.
Thank you very much for organizing this.
Yeah, it was very spontaneous because Sophia and I, we booked our vacation south of France, and Sophia's dream was it to go to this specific chateau.
Whoa.
Because Sophia was doing some research on Pinterest, and this chateau was the first place that showed up. Not your bedroom and not the living room. It was the pool. Surprise, okay. Surprise. And yeah, I mean, everyone who's seeing the pool the first time is probably like blown away just right. By the pool.
We also have a theory that the chateau attracts the right people.
The right people, yeah.
So if you are on the certain level, mm-hmm. then you are attracted to come here.
Yeah. But Costas, could you please describe this place in maybe a couple of sentences for the people that are listening? Could you draw the picture for them?
Well, this is a 16th century chateau that had various owners, obviously, throughout the century. But the original creator of this chateau was an Italian banker called Thomas de Cadani. Who lent money to the King of France, Francis I, and as a gratitude to the king, because also he was released from prison in Padova during the Italian-French War, gave him the seigneurie of this area, including some other areas, but Thomas de Cadani decided to build a Renaissance castle down here, and it's called the Chateau de Bas, and that was built in 1543. Mm-hmm. Now, it is, as you can see it now, with various rooms, all of them, they have this amazing height of ceilings and lights. It is, if you see it from above, it's like a cross. So mm-hmm. you have the north, the south, east and west. And all of them, they have terraces. All the areas have terraces so people can be outside in mm-hmm. the same time. So typical of a south of France weather. Mm-hmm. Originally, he built it for entertainment because he had other places in Lyon. And this was his pad, as we can call it now, where he could celebrate parties, invite friends, mm-hmm. and also because the area is a hunting area for wild boars, he could do also hunt.
For boars?
Yeah, okay. Wild boars, yes.
Because they didn't have Netflix at this time, right?
Yes.
So they had to do something else.
They had to do something,
yeah.
Apart from the parties, of course.
Yes. Okay, good.
Unfortunately, he didn't live very long. He died after a couple of years, but his sons continued mm-hmm. the whole thing.
But jumping from when, 16th
century, 1543. Yeah.
1543 to now. I mean, you gave us a little tour.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Through your garden, through the entire property. And just for everyone who's listening, it's not just Kostas, it's also lovely Alison.
Alison, which is listening to what I'm saying, making sure that I'm not going beyond my boundaries. Yes.
Yeah. And so you took it over from an old couple.
Yes. The owner that we bought it from, mm-hmm. He was living here for 52 years with a big family. He had five children. And they lived here happily, and the children got married here. But eventually, they decided that they wanted to move somewhere more modern. Because so they bought a place in Villeneuve-les-Avignon, and they built a lift, so they don't have to go up the stairs as you have here. They offered it to us when we came. We fell in love with the place, obviously. And we made, they told us, you don't own a chateau, you're a guardian. You're a guardian of the spirit of the chateau. Mm-hmm. And we promised that we will not make a difference, and we didn't want to make changes anyway. We didn't. Yeah. We wanted to modernize it, but keep the character. Yeah. So anything that you see here, it's in line of our promise, basically.
I mean, we didn't have to wear uniforms, right?
Yeah, but if you were coming to one of our parties, probably you would.
But it's like a museum somehow.
Living museum.
Yeah, living museum. It's mind-blowing, like the stuff that you showed us. I mean, I will put in some images.
Yes, you can show what it is.
Yeah,
yes.
So you can see it by yourself. But I think the best idea would be book it in advance and just be the guest.
We encourage people, if they want to have a place for the family, for example, they can book the whole chateau. They can have accommodation for 18 to people. It depends if it's all adults or there are children as well.
But we will do the sales part later. Kostas, like, how long did it take you to, I mean, make this beautiful place out of, I mean, like a living space?
Basically? Yeah, I mean, basically, when we bought it, it was in a livable condition, but we had to make a lot of changes to upgrade the standards of plumbing, electricity, around the pool. We changed things around, and we created two extra bedrooms that where you saw downstairs.
Do you talk about numbers?
Now we have in total 10 bedrooms, but we keep one bedroom for ourselves, locked with whenever we rent the whole chateau.
I mean, how much was the chateau? Like, do you talk about numbers? Like, how much was it to buy it? Like,
I'm not going to tell you that, because
like range between $1 and 10 million, or
no? When we will decide to sell the chateau. Then people will know. But let's put it this way, it was not cheap because of the location, because of the history, and because of everything. But it is in the upper levels of anybody who would want to buy a chateau. But for the moment, we have some years to maybe beyond 2030.
But now let's describe this place.
As you entered in, on the left is the cottage one, where you are staying. Above you, it's cottage two, which has two bedrooms and a bathroom in the middle. Mm-hmm. And further away, it's cottage three, which is the one with the murals on the wall. Mm-hmm. And as you enter into the living room, to the communal living room downstairs on the pool level, on the left, there is what's called la suite. Mm-hmm. And that is a big bedroom with a big bathroom. And it also has an outside terrace, private outside terrace. And then if you continue inside, you have the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And the kitchen has four different refrigerators for each cottage.
Yeah.
And then people communally can either cook or and we serve breakfast in the morning between 8:30 and 10:30.
But Kostas, Ellie told me, or told us that she created an Instagram account.
Yes.
And then she was like very surprised how
the response. Yes.
Yeah, about the response.
That's true. Absolutely.
She were just posting pictures of the pool, and now
it is recording our life in a sense.
But
in
now this channel has grown up to
128,000 followers right now.
And how does this channel boosting your business?
Well, we have a lot of people that book directly. Mm-hmm. We have people that book. We're still in Airbnb.
Yeah.
We have a minimum time of 3 days, mm-hmm. because we believe that people, in order to do justice to the chateau, they have to spend time here.
Yeah.
It's not like coming in and sleep and go away in the morning, because mm-hmm. They have to really to enjoy the magic of the place. Yeah. And as you found out from your experience, you need time to spend time around the pool, to spend time interacting with other people, other guests, mm-hmm. and then also going into discovering the area, because the area, it's amazing as well. You know, you have the beautiful cities and mm-hmm. beautiful places to visit within 20 minutes drive from here.
So in our previous conversation, you told me that you were a real estate project developer. Do you think without your previous experience, you have been able to all of that?
Let's put it this way. I had to sell properties in London in order to be able to buy this here. And it was in a combination of the previous experiences. Yeah. And also the fact that at the right moment in time, a sale happened that allowed us to buy this place.
Yeah, but in general, your knowledge of how to develop properties.
Yes. But I had in England, I had a team of builders that mm-hmm. they were working specifically for me. Mm-hmm. However, when we decided to develop this property here, we wanted to use local expertise, local masonries, masons, local plumbers, local electricians. And by doing that, we honored the tradition of the people that they know how to mm-hmm. Work this particular style of property. And also, we have them available if we need them for repairs. I did not bring my team from London to do this.
But were you self-employed? Like
in London, had companies. Yes, I was self-employed. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So, and did you also had experience with like making money out of running a property?
Oh yes, absolutely. Where I was a landlord, mm-hmm. And I had a number of properties, and I was earning my living from income, and also from selling the properties.
So, but now when you sell or renting out those rooms, like those four rooms per month, like how much money do you make with it? Like, is it 40,000 per month?
It's difficult to but let's put it this way. If you have all the bedrooms mm-hmm. Rented out, it's about 1,200, isn't it, per day? It's and if you have them over a week, it's something like 8,000 mm-hmm. roughly. Mm-hmm. And then if you have it over 1 month, it's 32,000. If mm-hmm. you have it then over 6 months a year, then there you are. So it gives you an idea of where the whole thing is, but then you have to deduct the expenses.
And how high are the expenses?
The expenses could be very high as far as electricity is concerned, especially because the pool is heated mm-hmm. electrically. Mm-hmm. We factor in also the expense for the breakfast. Then you have water expenses. Mm-hmm. It's quite high. The water expenses are quite high. Staff cleaning, you know. You have to deduct that, but still it gives you a good profit.
And the profit is there to like bring money back that you spent in renovating.
Yes, absolutely. Because don't forget, for example, 2 years ago, we replaced the whole boiler here.
Okay.
And that was a very significant expenditure. Mm-hmm. So it was in the tune of 60,000 euro.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you recuperate that? You have to actually...
Yes, definitely.
And also all the investment we did when we first bought the property,
mm-hmm.
that is also needs to be factored in.
Sorry, guys, when I ruined your romantic podcast now, but it's the entrepreneur podcast. And of course,
I understand, I wanted to talk
a little bit about that stuff. Are you still running other like?
No, I sold everything else I have. And Alison sold her practice. So we are dedicating ourselves to this project.
Okay.
Because it's a project worth dedicating yourself to.
Yeah. Like how did you phrase it earlier? You are a guardian.
Yes, you don't own a chateau, you're a guardian of the chateau.
How is it for you personally to live with your guests together?
We are very sociable,
both
of us.
Oh, as tell me can, something new.
As you can gather. So if we were not sociable, we would be hiding. It is not a job for somebody that is not sociable. And somebody that enjoys meeting people, enjoys asking questions about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we happily provide information about our history, mm-hmm. our lives, but we also ask other people to tell us about themselves.
Yeah.
And then we enjoy this interaction. So it is, I think, both we have this type of personality that allows us to do that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do.
You're doing a good job.
Yeah, well.
I'm saying now all these marketing channels that you already mentioned, Airbnb, Instagram, mouth of word, probably.
Yes.
Like, what is the most important?
Instagram is the most important channel because through Instagram, people can send a direct message to Alison manages mm-hmm. this, by the way. And they can ask questions,
mm-hmm.
which is sometimes with Airbnb, you don't get that. You got a booking
mm-hmm.
and you don't, and they come and they, sometimes they don't know what to expect. So we prefer people to learn about us mm-hmm. even through Instagram, even looking for various stories and various publications. To know what to expect, that we are providing an experience, not a bed and breakfast per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can find bed and breakfast elsewhere where the owners, they don't interact. Mm-hmm. You come in, you stay, and you leave. Here, because it is also our home,
mm-hmm.
we allow people to get a picture of how it is to live in a place like this.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, they go ahead and try to find another place to buy mm-hmm. for themselves after having had this experience, not necessarily to do the business, because doing the business, it takes a special type of person, but to spend the time around the area, because the area, it's a very attractive area. Yeah. Because it's still authentic. It has not become like the Côte d'Azur, which is mm-hmm. very, very touristic.
Yeah.
It is here authentic. And then where else can you go and you have two cats, you know, inside? No, there you are.
Oh,
you
have Mathieu.
Mathieu, which is a very sociable cat as well, like the owners.
Uh-huh.
He likes to mix with the guests, and the guests love him, you know, because he is a very sociable cat.
If you could start over again, like this entire chateau journey, what would you do differently?
Ooh, probably I wouldn't have bought it. the reason is that I never do something without so spontaneous, like mm-hmm. what we did. We both came here and we fell in love with the place.
Mm-hmm.
It was an emotional reaction to the beauty of the place. So sometimes the beauty of the place doesn't necessarily translate in economic sense.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular one, the way we then structured it, it proved to be a good decision. So I wouldn't change anything else, because without a decision to buy this place, we wouldn't be sitting here, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
I mean, this is always like a good answer. Without all those steps, I would not be here. But maybe there are some dumb decisions that you made that you would like to.
I don't think there will be anything that I would have skipped. Because, as I say, it's a jigsaw puzzle. Mm-hmm. You embark into a path, and you adjust yourself according to what the universe brings to you at that particular moment in time, and then you learn from it, and you do. Maybe I would have used different products in the showers downstairs
for your hair,
for my hair too. But I think nothing that I can think of, unless Alison can think of something that you could be done differently. It is what it is, and we enjoy. We are grateful. We have a gratitude continuously in our lives every day.
How do you find the prices that people are still willing to pay for a night
again
in such
an
area?
By comparative analysis of what other places offer, and also we just testing what we think it's the value of our places, you know. And, you know, people are prepared to pay. Otherwise, we also have a threshold where if the people are not prepared to pay what we think it's the right amount, then they're not going to come here. So the chateau is not inviting them. So that's what I'm trying to say. You need to have a threshold.
Okay. And why did you become an entrepreneur? What was the reason?
Why did life bring you in a journey that you didn't expect? Well, when I started buying properties in London, it was a period also where the property market was going up and up and up. I even bought a property in Berlin, by the way, which never went as up as it was in London. So London was the place where you could make a lot of money, and you expect a lot of increase in the value. And the system at that time was helping to do this business. So I developed that business model for a number of years, and then I became interested in properties as having personality of their own. So different type of properties attracted me subconsciously, or you know, gut feeling. Sometimes I didn't even think logically, so I made mistakes then. So I bought properties which then they were not the right properties to buy, and so on. So I had the opportunity to develop a little bit of a feeling of what will work and what will not work.
And after being an entrepreneur, was there ever a time where you thought, oh, I want to give up everything and just want to be employed again?
Never. No, once you become your own boss, you never want to be... When I was in shipping, I was employed by a Greek shipping company based in London. And that was the as far as I went, maybe 6 years. After that, I was always my own boss.
Yeah. And what does the word entrepreneurship like mean for
taking
you?
Risks, taking risks, calculated risks, and not being afraid to make mistakes and learn from your mistakes. And have really, how you call it? You have to have strength, strength of character to be able to withstand the ups and downs, which is outside your control. Remember, for example, in property market, things happen that are outside your control, like in UK, Brexit, that created a difference into the credit crisis, cause a difference. So you have to be able to find solutions to withstand this particular period. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the next property problem is going to be, but property is subject to microenvironments and macroenvironment. So, yeah.
Kostas, thank you very much.
Thank you.
What are your plans with Ellie for the next years?
Go on holidays.
That's good.
During the winter. There are winter times. It's our exploration time. So we like to travel ourselves and be tourists ourselves and discovering things that we haven't discovered as yet. So, yeah, that's where we're going.
And if you want to sell it, I'm pretty sure I don't have the money to buy it, but maybe reach out and we do a selling podcast.
Of course. And
it's very much fair.
The cat heard about it. So yeah. She says, what are you telling? Are you going to sell us?
Good is that Mathieu is not a skunk.
But Mathieu... Mathieu is found himself and came to the chateau, and it's like a, how do you call it, squatting. He came. Yeah. He's a squatter.
Yeah, we have some squatters in Berlin.
But he became a squatter that was accepted by the owners.
Okay, Costa, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your trip.
Der Unternehmer-Podcast wird von NextGen Podcast produziert.